for our sermon this morning comes from the gospel reading, and in particular, towards the end of the reading, verse 38 and following. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. Our reading today for the first Sunday in Advent teaches us that repentance is necessary and Christ comes to bring us the peace of heaven. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. It would seem that the people who were shouting this to Jesus as he comes into Jerusalem have things a little backwards. They shout, Blessed is the King who comes. How often is it that the greater comes and seeks out the lesser? In our world, how often is it that presidents and kings look to come to be in poor people's homes or to seek out those who don't have anything to give to them? I guess perhaps this happens in campaign season. Lord, save us from political advertisements. But really, the powerful and well-connected never mingle with the poor and powerless. They only are amongst the powerless masses because they want something from them. They want their votes. They want their money, their donations. Politicians, kings, queens, and even business advertising gurus, they all want us to come to them, to Advent. Give to them, and they will, in turn, out of the kindness of their hearts, give to us, or at least make us feel better for supporting the right political party. How odd it is that the people that day saw that the King of heaven, the King of all the universe, he comes to them, and he comes to us. He doesn't need anything from you. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need your votes. He doesn't need anything from you. Everything belongs to God. Here is how Jesus is the true King of heaven. And here is his glory, is that he comes to you. He comes to you to free you from fear. Jesus comes, the King of heaven, to give you the peace of heaven. Jesus comes to us in the name of the Lord to bring us the peace of God. Now, salesmen and politicians, they are onto something. They're eager to point out that we are lacking something, right? The first part of trying to sell somebody something is pointing out why they need it. There is indeed some injustice in the world, and they will help us fix it. They're not far from the truth. There is something wrong in our world. We are always lacking something. Look around. Listen to the news at your own risk. There is always suffering. There are always the powerful who are willing to take advantage of the powerless. There are those who want to take advantage of others' misfortunes. There are those who would lie to you so that you would give up your faith. There are those who would use fear to control you. Because, well, they know what's best for you. They will arrest you and hold you accountable to things they themselves do not obey. All you have to do is come to them. All you have to do is advent to them. It's a form of repentance, if you think about it. They want us to acknowledge that there is some sort of wrong and we are to trust them to fix it only after we give to them. Our world celebrates a form of repentance year-round. It's just the world doesn't believe the gospel to be the solution. It is never the powerful who will belittle themselves, but it is you who must advent. It is you who must come to them. You must come to them with your money, your blind obedience, and they even take advantage of your desire to change the world for better, and it is only they who can help you. You just advent to them. Jeremiah in our Old Testament lesson today acknowledges this truth. There is something that needs to be fixed. Even as my dad was fond of saying, even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. Jeremiah acknowledges even what the blind, unbelieving world sees, that there is something wrong with our fallen world. Jeremiah, he says, he talks about this, he talks about God being the one who fixes what is wrong with the world. He shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. There will be a king who will come and take it upon himself to right all the wrongs. He will do it. And he needs nothing from us. Someone needs to bring justice because there's a lack of justice. Someone needs to bring righteousness because unrighteousness flows in our land, and many times we are the source of it. We are the source of unrighteousness in our land. We've been complicit in it. We, like sheep, have gone astray in many ways. And yet, there are some who will stand among us and claim to never have gone astray. There are some who would deny what we call repentance. But judgment must first begin with the house of God. We ourselves must first repent. That is one of the themes of Advent, that to properly prepare ourselves for our coming King, we must live lives of repentance. We must not move too quickly to the joys that this King brings from heaven, because this King has not fully executed his coming to us. Our King still has reason to continually bring justice and righteousness, because we are still in a battle. The effects of sin are still among us. Jesus has won the war on the cross. His ascension to the right hand of God means that nothing can keep him from coming to you. The victory over unrighteousness and injustice has been won, but the devil is still engaged in battle with you. The devil has not given up because he hates you. We are still afflicted even with our own sins. You know yourself, the battle still rages. Within your own life, within you. Maybe Thanksgiving brought to the surface old rivalries or disunity in the family. Maybe old anger and unforgiven sins showed their ugly face at Thanksgiving. Perhaps your eagerness to go shopping for deals on Black Friday overshadows your eagerness for God's Word. Black Friday indeed. The doubts, the anger, the frustration with your own failings where God has called you to serve your neighbor. Recognizing these sins is part of being a Christian. Repentance is necessary because it's the truth. We shall not live by lies. Repentance is more than just feeling sorry for sin. It is mourning over sin, but that mourning, it takes responsibility and it wants to do better. Repentance looks not only to the past, but also to the future. It is regret, but it is not despair. True repentance has hope, but also recognizes that we must work with God in being more faithful. It turns away from sin and turns toward God. Repentance is not just a singular moment in time. It is a way of life and a way of dying. It is a life of daily contrition and repentance, a drowning of death, the killing of the old man so that the new man may arise. This is what we mean by remembering your baptism, is that we are still engaged in battle. True repentance is confident that Christ is good, even if our crosses and suffering is heavy. Christ is forgiving, even if our sins are many. True repentance looks to Christ for mercy and salvation. It seeks power against temptation. It grasps onto the promise that Christ advents to us in the here and now to equip the powerless and make them by His gospel the powerful. Not in worldly standards, mind you, but according to the judgment of God. The world is not interested in you repenting unless you first come to them. Buy our products. We'll even use some of our profits to right some wrongs in the world. We are so wonderful. We will give some of your money to others. Aren't we spectacular? You can feel good now about spending money at our store. It's a modern-day indulgence. Also, too, pushing us with fear in the news now, a new variant of the virus. A new thing to be fearful of. Do you want to be safe? Come to those in the know. Give up going to church. Don't talk to people. Don't be around one another. Listen to the powerful who will not follow the same laws that they demand of you. Not only that, but you are the reason there's a variant. It is our fault. Now repent. The ones who promised a return to normalcy do not themselves know what normalcy is for Christians. Christians do not live in fear, and that's why they hate us. Listen to the Pharisees in our reading. Teacher, rebuke your disciples. The people, they knew where to find peace. They knew there was something wrong. They knew they needed the protection of a king. And they came to Jesus. They called out, and the Pharisees were angry because they were unbelievers. They did not believe Jesus to be the Son of God. And so they did not understand what Jesus' coming to His people meant. The Pharisees were jealous because they considered themselves to be the possessors of the truth. They considered themselves to be the gatekeepers of the law of God. It was because people were believing in Jesus, they were angry. James says, friendship with the world is enmity with God. The people were not coming to the Pharisees for rescue, But God was adventing to his people, and the devil does not like that. This is what our reading teaches us. That the people were repenting. They had a need. They recognized unrighteousness, injustice in the world, even at their own hands. And they wanted Jesus to come to them to chase away fear. Despite your sins, Christ will not refuse a contrite heart. So during Advent, we remember not to move to the sweets and the candy cane joy of Christmas without first acknowledging why the sweets taste so good. It is why the church first considers Advent when the world is already gorging itself on the artificialness of joy, not of Christmas, but of the holidays. We, the Christian church, we recognize first why the Savior has to come. Peter says in 2 Peter 3, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." That includes us. If we do not obey God's command to be repentant and to consider the wickedness of our sins, we will be like the spoiled child or those rioting in the streets of our cities. We'll become like the angry college student who doesn't recognize how hard his parents worked to provide an education for him. Not even considering the years of work and sweat and prayers that the parents offered day and night, providing a home and shelter. We too, as the children of God, will rebel if we are not repentant. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." If we move straight to Christmas without first recognizing our sin, we will be spoiled. Pretty soon we will find the things of this life taste a little better than the gospel of the forgiveness of sins, because we'll have no need for the forgiveness of sins. We'll be more excited to be along with the world, sitting at the table of worldly power and possessions. We will be more excited to join in the dining party with those who engage in sin, rather than rejoice to come to the table of our Lord. And God will punish us. But where can we find peace? Believing in Christ Jesus as the King of heaven brings peace. Did you hear how the people shouted, "Peace from heaven, the peace of heaven this King brings"? Did you notice the people shouting that? It seems strange that they would say something like that, because when was there not peace in heaven? Well, the book of Job and Revelation teach us that before Jesus' work on the cross, the devil was in heaven pointing out to God how sinful humanity is. The devil had a hearing before God in the courts of heaven saying, "Look, God, your people only love you because you give them good things." And who of us is here to say that the devil is wrong? That's one of the names that the devil has in the scriptures, the accuser. And so often, that is the case. We treat God like an earthly king or like a politician. "We've worshipped you, we've prayed to you, now you give us what we need in return, or else we will find another place." The devil was accusing us before Jesus died, and he had an open and shut case. We indeed are guilty of sins, but God would advent. God would come to his people. He would leave heaven and right the wrongs himself. God would give his son Jesus for the sins of the world so that the devil can no longer accuse you. There is peace in heaven because the devil has been thrown out. And that peace extends to your conscience because it is only the judgment of God that matters for us. We could not go to him. Our eyes are blinded by sin. We cannot behold God or even recognize our need. We were dead in our trespasses. What could we bring and give to the judge of all creation? On what basis can we ask for mercy or pardon from God? What benefit could he receive by charity to us? We cannot raise ourselves to greet God. We cannot, by our own reason or strength, believe in him nor come to him. So he comes to us. He was born for us. He rode into Jerusalem for us. He is crucified and he is risen for us. And now today, he calls you again by that victorious gospel. He answers the cry, Hosanna, which means, save us. He didn't just come to his people in Jerusalem, but he comes to you today. He comes not riding on a donkey, but on the bread and wine. He comes to free you from fear and to give you peace. What greater gift could there be? He comes calling us to repent and to believe the truth that our sins are forgiven, that death is chased away, that Jesus has given you eternal life, and now it is we who are the powerful because God fights and protects you. It is he who is our risen Advent King. And so we have nothing to fear. God desires you to have the peace of heaven. And you have it in full in Christ Jesus. So may the God and Father of Christ Jesus keep us in that faith, and may that peace, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.